Reading from the Bhagavad Gita as it is from the third chapter, entitled Karma Yoga, text number 9. Yagyatat karmano yatra
Yagyatat karmano yatra
Lokayam karmabandhana
Lokayam karmabandhana
Tadattam
karma
kunteya
Tadattam karma kunteya
Mukta sangha samachara
Mukta sangha
Work done as a sacrifice for Vishnu has to be performed. Otherwise, work causes bondage in this material world. Therefore, O son of Kunti, perform your prescribed duties for his satisfaction, and in that way, you will always remain free from bondage. Purport. Since one has to work even for the simple maintenance of the body, the prescribed duties for the particular social positions and qualities are so made that purpose can be fulfilled. Yagya means Lord Vishnu, or sacrificial performances. All sacrificial performances are also meant for the satisfaction of Lord Vishnu. The Vedas enjoin Yagyo Vaya Vishnu. In other words, the same purpose is served whether one performs prescribed yagyas or directly serves Lord Vishnu. Krishna consciousness is therefore a performance of yagya as it is prescribed in this verse. The Varnashram institution also aims at satisfying Lord Krishna. Varnam ashram charat patha purushen parakumam Vishnu arajate Vishnu Purana 388. Therefore, one has to work for the satisfaction of Vishnu. Any other work done in this material world will be a cause of bondage, for both good and evil work have their reactions, and any reaction binds the performer. Therefore, one has to work in Krishna consciousness to satisfy Krishna or Vishnu. And while performing such activities, one is in a liberated stage. This is the great art of doing work. And in the beginning, this process requires very expert guidance. One should therefore act very diligently under the expert guidance of a devotee of Lord Krishna, or under the direct instruction of Lord Krishna himself, under whom Arjuna had the opportunity to work. Nothing should be performed for sense gratification, but everything should be done for the satisfaction of Krishna. This practice will not only save one from the reaction of work, but also gradually elevate one to transcendental loving service of the Lord, which alone can raise one to the kingdom of God. So, earlier today, we were involved in some sort of discussion where we were arguing back and forth a little bit about various subjects. And one of them was the law of action and reaction, that every action has a reaction. And of course, a simple question would be like, well, how do you know? Now, how can you prove? But one can consider that even in modern times, there are many people who don't just... you can say, even in modern times, when it comes to karma, that people don't just walk away from activities. There are so many people who are still suffering from the past, and so many issues they have, unresolved issues, and they need psychotherapy for this and that. So it's clear that their actions of the past have left a reaction. So even if modern people say, well, you know, this karma, every action is a reaction, we don't see that. But you can see it, right? Why are so many people going through issues of the past? It's finished. Completely finished. Why are you worried about it? That was... yesterday it may have rained, okay, but today the sun shines, who cares about the rain yesterday? We're dry today, and what's there to worry about? So it's behind, the past is behind us. But no, one cannot so easily leave the past behind. The past stays with us in some way or other, because every action creates a reaction. And it is a fact that all these reactions are stored within the consciousness. It is interesting that in psychology, they're coming up with a concept of subconsciousness. That there is the consciousness, and below it the subconsciousness, and so many things are stored within the subconsciousness, and they're still influencing us now. Well, actually, Vedic culture also recognizes a subconsciousness. So this concept of subconsciousness is nothing new. It's not invented by Sigmund Freud, but rather it's like, the Vedas, they knew about that for a long time. And that many impressions or experiences leave an impression that remains behind in the subconsciousness. That is a fact. The only element that the Vedic culture adds is that within the subconsciousness there are even impressions from last life. And yes, life after life, we appear here in this material world, in this birth, in death birth, in Chorasilak Ionia, or in 8,400,000 species of life. And in these different species, each time the impressions in the subconsciousness are with us. We know very well. Some people, they do past life regression, just to sort of work out some issues that are still there from the last life and the whole thing. It is a fact that last life is influencing us in the present. Very much so. And some tendencies are there within us from last life. And we feel so strong. This is me. This is my nature. Yeah, because you already did it last life. Doesn't mean that actually it is your nature, it's your conditioning. Your true nature may be something totally different. We don't know what our true nature is, because actually our true nature is now asleep. It is said that the functions of thinking, feeling, and willing are actually natural functions of the soul. It is the soul that is thinking. It is the soul that is feeling, it is the soul that is willing in the liberated state. But now, the soul is in a dormant state. Now that we are in material bodies, the soul is in a dormant state, and suddenly the mind has taken over these functions of thinking, feeling, and willing. And therefore, it is said the mind is like a bird, an ordinary bird that has borrowed the feathers of a peacock and walks around like that. It is the ordinary mind that is borrowing the feathers of the soul. The capacity of the mind when it comes to thinking, feeling, and willing is not really very developed. But people are trying. They're trying to be happy in the material world. Well, good luck. And there, your previous karma is going to interfere with it. Well, the good karma will bring you some enjoyment, and the bad karma will bring you some trouble. Well, how do I know that I don't just have good karma? Maybe I have a lot of good karma. Could be. Who knows the past karma? What if I have a lot of good karma? Then I'm destined to enjoy in this life. So, maybe I'll be lucky. No. Excuse me. There is another factor in the equation. More complex. It's the age of Kali. And in the age of Kali, nobody has good karma. Didn't think of that. A little bit. But everyone's got plenty of bad karma in the age of Kali, this age of two. So that's the situation. So karma is coming. Yeah. So what to do about that? Well, fortunately, here in this temple, we have a way to dissolve karma. No problem at all. We'll fix your karma anytime. it can be done quick. It's like instant result. And Srila Prabhupada told us like that. Srila Prabhupada, he mentioned that, you know, if you chant Hare Krishna, you see there this beautiful banner on the side, and it says chant in big letters, and then Hare Krishna in a flowery frame with Radha and Krishna looking very sweet. So what happens if you chant Hare Krishna? Well, it is said that if you chant Hare Krishna once, that you'll change. Hare Krishna. Have I changed? Not a bit. Hare Krishna. That was cheating. Okay. So, Hare Krishna. Did I change? Okay, look carefully now. I'm going to ask you, because you're sitting in front. If you sit in front, you're in trouble. So, watch carefully. Okay. Hare Krishna. Did I change? A little bit, huh? What has changed?
The way you tell, like...
Something the way you tell, huh?
It's like there is no involvement or something like
that. More involvement somehow. Okay. Well, what Srila Prabhupada explains is that by chanting Hare Krishna, the subtle body changes. It's the subtle body that changes. It's that subtle body where the subconsciousness is there, and where all these things are stored within our consciousness. Gone. Gone. So many sinful reactions. Gone. Aparaptafalam kutamam. Aparanda falam mukam kutam bijam falam mukam kramaneva pariyata vishnu bhakti vrta manam. It is an aparanda bhavam, this aparanda bhavam, or the unmanifested bhavam, sinful reactions. They are stored within the heart, within the consciousness, within the chaita. When chaita is sometimes heart, sometimes the word means consciousness, so in modern terms, within the consciousness. But by chanting once, that is being dissolved. This aparata kana is diminished. So we are changing, although we don't see it. Changing a bit. Chanting, nothing happens. No results. There is result, because the karma that is stored subconsciously, that karma is now being removed, little by little, but quickly, very quickly. It is said, now again another verse I have to try to remember, nam nam ijavati shakti papa niharane hare tarakkartum avap nuti patakam pataki naraha. I got it. This verse is a verse I always forget. And this time I remembered it, that's a good sign. I forget this verse every time. And one time I arrived just in Bombay and was taking a taxi. And then the taxi driver quoted that verse. And I thought, God, even the taxi drivers. That verse is better than I knew. So that's a disgrace. Swamiji forgets. Taxi driver remembers. But the point is, of that verse, is that by chanting Hare Krishna once, you can burn up more karmic reactions than you can commit in a lifetime. Somebody didn't like this, huh? Sabotage. Anyway, you can burn up more sinful activities by chanting once than you can commit in a lifetime, the verse says. So that is quite impressive. No problem, there are technicians. Maybe he also wants to give. So in this way, we shouldn't underestimate the potency of this chanting. On another occasion, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that when a Harinam party goes through the street, of course anyone who is in that street gets purified by hearing the holy name. Even people that pluck their ears still goes through. They get purified. So, but that's not all. That's not all. What actually happens is the entire street gets purified as well and transformed as well. And anyone who goes through that street after, they also get purified. So the effect of the chanting is much greater than we think. Because this chanting is the ultimate yajna. We're speaking in yajna tat karanum yatra lokyam karmabandhana. We're speaking how yajna can make us free from sacrifice. Okay, try it one more time, otherwise I'll do without. So, how this yajna can make us free from these karmic reactions, from bondage. That's a fact. But of all yajnas, this chanting of the Maha Mantra is the most potent one. The most potent one. Because all other yajnas are basically offerings to the Supreme Lord, where we are trying to satisfy the Supreme Lord and we're trying to attract the mercy of the Supreme Lord. And that's what we do in yajna. Swaha, we make various offerings with the idea this is for the pleasure of the Lord, and now we hope that He'll become mercifully inclined towards us. Yes. But by chanting the name, Krishna is no different from His name, Abhinatvam Naminamya. Therefore, Krishna is present. And now, we've been talking about this topic in the morning, that some people, they are worshipping the Lord, and they spend they make a big sacrifice in worship, some way or other, a big puja, a big worship, to get something else. We're doing a puja to get something else. So there is a story how once when Krishna was living in Dwarka, he was living there with his father Vasudev, his mother Devaki, and so on, and all the other Yadus. And then there was this grahan, this eclipse, this Surya grahan, we remember. And because Kurukshetra was a holy place, it was Vasudev who made a suggestion, let us all go to Kurukshetra and perform a sacrifice there. We'll do a big sacrifice during the eclipse, and this way we can counteract all the inauspicious influences of the eclipse. Everyone said, this is a wonderful idea. Let's go. So a big caravan went from Dwarka, and they went all the way to Kurukshetra, a long way, as you know. Right? And yes, the arrangement was being made. So various brahmanas were commissioned, and they made this whole big yajna-shala, and a lot of work to purify it, and seating arrangements were made for the royal family, tribunes on the side, so that everyone had a proper seating place, and they could sit all the way going up, and everyone was there, and everything was very nice. Then everyone was coming to that sacrifice. Everyone. Even the demigods were coming to that sacrifice. So when Nanda Maharaj heard about it, Nanda Maharaj also decided to come. And he came from Vrindavan. And when Nanda Maharaj, when he saw Krishna, he was overwhelmed. And when Krishna saw Nanda Maharaj, then Krishna was overwhelmed. So much so, they didn't see anything else. It was as if the world stopped existing and they only saw each other. And Krishna got so emotional. Then Vasudev had never seen him like that. He's kind of shocked, you know. Here's my son, and he's showing so much his affection for Nanda Maharaj, you know. So then he said out loud, well, it's not surprising that Krishna shows so much affection for Nanda Maharaj. After all, he stayed with them in Vrindavan for a long time. And meanwhile, he's thinking, he has more affection for him than for me. Then the Brahmin came and said to Vasudev that he needed to come. He needed to come immediately to partake in some of the rituals, in the Adivas ritual, the preparation ritual for the Yajna. So that all inauspiciousness could be warded off by that Yajna. So Nanda Maharaj left. But the question that is being... Vasudev left. Nanda Maharaj was there with Krishna. And the question is, but where is the question of inauspiciousness when Krishna is there? There is no inauspiciousness when Krishna is there. Everything desirable has been obtained. There is nothing wrong. When Krishna is there, you have everything you need. Everything you could ever desire. Everything. Every desire fulfilled. Nanda Maharaj had that mood. But Vasudev did not. Vasudev was still thinking he had to ward off some inauspiciousness by Sanyavya. So there is a difference between the mood of Dwarka and the mood of Vrindavan. And how that mood of Vrindavan has this total dependence on Krishna. And in the same way, there is a difference between chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and performing some yajna, some Agni Hotra yajna. We may, when there is smoke, Swamiji, lots of smoke, then it becomes real ceremony. I was in India, we did some program in the house of some life members, and then some brahmacharis were with us, and the people had cooked, vegetarian everything, and then they asked the devotees to make the offering. So, one brahmachari took charge, and he arranged that two people would stand with a Harinam chapa, and he took the tray, the plate, behind that chapa. And what was going on behind the chapa? Nobody knew. He was there, some bell and some mantra and this, that. And then suddenly, there was so much smoke. I think he lit a whole bundle of incense. And so much smoke from behind that jar. Everyone said, now it's really prasad. This was very good offering. Very good. So much smoke. There was so much smoke. Very good offering. So we are measuring the quality of the offering by the quantity of the smoke. But Krishna is different. He is measuring the quality of the offering by the bhakti. Krishna is accepting the bhakti. So in a yajna, in an Agnihotri yajna, we're trying to attract the favor of Krishna. And in that way, or of Vishnu, and in that way get blessings. But when we are chanting the name of Krishna, the holy name, Abhinatva Naminamyo, is Krishna, it means Krishna is there. It means that everything has become auspicious. It means there is nothing lacking anymore. It's already there. So there's nothing to attain anymore. We already got the blessings. No need to ask for any blessings now. We have them. No, please, give some blessings, Hare Krishna. No, some blessings. You already got them, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Yeah, already got the blessings. No, please, it's fine to be. Hit him on the head. Give some blessings. The greatest blessing is the holy name, because in the holy name, Krishna is there. And when Krishna is there, what else do you want? Oh, Lord. Won't you buy me a Mercedes-Benz? Oh yes. Dhanam dehi bhavati dehi bhavaryam dehi. Yes. Let us ask for some health, some wealth, some beauty, and all these things, isn't it? Nice, yes. No, what is that? Those things are of the material world. Sukha dukkha, they give happiness and distress. Money. Money will give you happiness and money will give you suffering. Don't you know? You have some money? tell you, this money will bring you happiness and distress. But if you give it to his Swami, he can handle it, because he'll engage it in the service of Krishna. So then, for him, no happiness or distress connected to his Swami. But if you use the money for yourself, you get happiness and distress from it, both. Well, that's okay, but just give us the money. We'll take that distress. Just
give us the money.
But, no. The real happiness is Krishna. That's it. That's the highest thing. Therefore, when we approach Krishna, we ask him only for more Krishna. Right? So, therefore, I said this morning also, from chanting comes more chanting. If you think, and now I'm going to finish my rounds quickly, six more to go, three more to go, two, one, zero, ping! Like the microwave timer. That. No. From chanting comes more chanting. Yes. Grasping Krishna. Allow us to glorify you. Allow us to serve you. Then more chanting will come. And this is it. So Krishna is the reward. Krishna. What we're getting from service to Krishna is Krishna. Krishna gives himself. What is better? What is better? The cowherd boys, they have jewels. Oh yes, nice jewels. But when they go into the forest with Krishna, they cover these jewels with leaves from the and flowers from the forest. Because that's more valuable. Because that is from the forest where they are with Krishna. Jewels? Their mothers dress them up with jewels. Who cares about jewels? They want leaves and flowers and branches from the forest where they are with Krishna, because that is the best place. And everything from that forest is the greatest treasure, the greatest, because it reminds of Krishna. There is no greater treasure. Some like that. Our greatest treasure is Krishna. The best thing we have is Krishna. Prabhupada used to challenge the ladies, like little baby, and Prabhupada says, so, who do you love the most? Krishna or baby? Tough question. But Prabhupada asked this question. Yes, it is like that. Ultimately, we saw the residence of Vrindavan. We saw what happened when Lord Brahma stole the calves and cowherd boys. We remember that Lord Brahma lives on a different time. His days are much longer than ours. Right? So, 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas is 1 day of Brahma. So even a minute of Brahma is quite long. So just a moment of Brahma was as long as a whole year. And Lord Brahma just stole the cowherd boys for a moment and the calves and put them in a cave where they were asleep by some mystic power. He put them in some sort of sleep. So they're sleeping in this cave, and then he quickly went back, and now let's see how Krishna will feel when he sees all his friends are just suddenly gone. But then Brahma came back and all the friends were still there. And actually, they had been there for a whole year, and Krishna had taken the place of all these friends. And then, when at that time, and the calves also, so it said during that year, when the friends, or first the calves, when the calves came home, their mother's cows already had new calves. But they totally neglected the young calves and just wanted to give milk to those calves. And they would go mad and see those calves. And suddenly all the residents of Vrindavan, now that Krishna had become their child, started to love their children like they'd never loved him before. Suddenly they loved their children so much more. Everyone just was loving their children as much as they loved Krishna. It was Krishna who had fulfilled their desire, because all along they had a desire to have Krishna as their child. Everyone, was thinking, oh, if only Krishna could have been my child. Oh, if only. Then Krishna fulfilled that desire. So it is like that. Krishna is our greatest love. There is nothing more wonderful than Krishna. Nothing. And if we think there is something wonderful, more wonderful than Krishna, or something that is also wonderful. Krishna is wonderful, yes, 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 yes. But many other things are also wonderful. No, no, nothing is wonderful. Only Krishna is wunderbar, wonderful, wonderful. Nothing else, nothing but Krishna is wonderful. Everything else is actually having two sides. Happiness and distress. Everything. Even our children, happiness and distress, they will give us. That we also read in Bhagavatam, how this King Marasthitaketra couldn't have a son, and he wanted to have so desperately a son. And he had like many wives, so didn't work with one wife, got another wife, and tried with the other wife, still no kid, got another wife, still no kid, had so many wives, still no offspring. You're not having any offspring. They always ask in India, any issue? No issue. You have no issue. No, I've got no issues. In the West it means I'm okay up here, but in India it means no children. So Chitaketu wanted to have a child. Then Narada came. Narada said, all right, I can give you a blessing. You can have a child, but this child will give you both happiness and distress. Said, okay, no problem. All children give happiness and distress. I will take it. The child was born so happy, so happy, so happy. But the other queens became envious and they poisoned the child. Child died. Then babies. Anyway, that's the story of Bhagavatam. But then Narada called the child back to life. And then the child said, why did you call me back? Oh, your parents were so upset. Oh, my parents? Which parents? From which life? I had so many parents. Which ones are upset? Then the parents sort of became a little detached. And they realized, his soul has had so many parents. So we cannot make everything of family life. Family life is all right. But family life is not the all in all. Family life is not the goal in life. The goal in life. Vasri pravida, vasri pramaka, vasri prakriya, vasri prayuga, vasri prudhanu, vasri pramjanam, vasri pragati. Pragati means vasri is the ultimate goal in life. So that we have to put first. And then our children, make them Krishna conscious. Guru na sasyat, pita na sasyat. Don't be a guru, don't be a father. Janani na sasyat, don't be a mother if you are not going to make your child Krishna conscious. So good luck to all the mothers in the world and the fathers who have to try and make their little darlings Krishna conscious. It's a challenge, I know. But there is one advantage, that as you are reminding your child of Krishna, you're also reminding yourself. Can you tell me this story again? You always tell some story, and only Krishna stories, nothing else. In this way, you get to know all the stories. In this way, your children will make you Krishna conscious. And if you make one mistake, they catch you immediately. That's what they do, right? If you say it has to be like that and you don't follow the rules yourselves, you're in trouble. They catch you. Wait a minute. So in this way, to try and make one's children Krishna conscious is a way to become Krishna conscious ourselves. And Prabhupada's father said, I will not send my son to England to become a barrister. I will not send him to England to become a barrister, because then he'll learn to eat chicken. Yes? No, I will keep him here. And he taught his son how to play mridanga. Seems like, what? Why are you wasting your time? Time to teach this child, get him a mridanga teacher. they have nothing better to do. But then, later on, Prabhupada was such an expert madanga player. He knows so many different, so many rhythms, and even professional drummers would like come and check him out, you know. The old man surely knows, got a few good licks, like that. So, this community is for that. Here is a community where we can ourselves be in family life, but come together and cultivate our Krishna consciousness. All Krishna's land. We came to Australia for other reasons, but Krishna knew all along what would happen. He knew they're heading for 197 Dank Street. smiling. So yes, here we are. Here we are, for this purpose now, to get absorbed. We're chanting Hare Krishna. It's the best. Because Krishna, in his name, is even better than in the form of the deity. Why? Because Krishna, in that form, is more merciful. With the deity, you can make some offense, some mistake. Holy name, you can chant anywhere. Deity, you can only worship properly. Holy name, anyway, you can chant it anytime, any place. So in this way, we are very fortunate that with this chanting of Hare Krishna, we are so much blessed, and it is the greatest thing. Greatest thing. There's only one problem. We don't believe it. And we listen to this lecture and think, yes, Swamiji, that was a very nice lecture, and then we just forget all about it. And think, yes, but I want some more smoke. But the essence is not in the smoke. It's not in the ritual. The name is Krishna in his most merciful form. So that is wonderful. And therefore, we must teach our children kirtan. And at home, we must have kirtan. I used to live in Vrindavan in the 70s, so that's a little while ago now, 70s ago. And, you know, and then, at one point in India, there was the Ramayana. We all remember those days, Ramayana on television, and all of India stopped for the Ramayana. When people were on the train, they would pull the emergency brakes, stop the train, go to the nearest village, find a TV to watch the Ramayana. Parliament would not have any session during the Ramayana. Even in our temples, we were watching the Ramayana. Everyone was watching the Ramayana. And in some village, if during the Ramayana they turned off the electricity, the whole village burned down the powerhouse. Load shedding during the Ramayana is sinful. We accept load shedding, yes. In India, there is always load shedding. Not enough power, especially when it gets dark. Or in the hot season, when it is really hot and you really need the fan, then there's load shedding. Alright, we tolerate. You sit in the train, train stops in the middle of the track, load shedding, we know it, sweating, hot, waiting till finally, Bisbyakya. Then again we go. Nice, but load shedding during the Ramayana is sinful. We will not tolerate it. Revolution. So Ramayana was big. But one thing that Ramayana did in Vrindavan is that everyone bought a TV. And then after, everyone started to watch TV. And before the Ramayana came from TV, there was kirtan every night in every house. And then it changed. If you would walk through Vrindavan, in every house you would hear kirtan. The Grihasthas were all doing kirtan. So, therefore, if you want, you can invite me. I will come to your house for a special program. We come with kirtan, with a kirtan party. We will take your television. If you have an upstairs, we will go upstairs, open the window, And then with loud Hari Bols, we throw out the television, Hari Bol! And also the internet connection, we cut it. And then, instead of wasting time, we'll just say Kirtan. Just Kirtan. Kirtan is so sweet. And we'll just chant and chant and chant. And the kids, very done. Very good, huh? Your son is better than you. Sorry.
Really?
He is. And they pick it up. They become expert. And we see that with our second generation ISKCON children. We see that they don't always like to follow all the rules. Because when they grow up, when they become youth, right? Teenager, they don't always want to follow all the rules. That's teenagers are like that. They don't like always follow the rules. But then they love Kirtan. They all love Kirtan. That's our saving grace. So let us at home, let us in the temple, let us wherever we can, at every opportunity, chant the holy name of Krishna.